Hello and welcome back to Down the Slope. I might sound cheery, but I don't really feel that way. However, I've got three fantastic gentlemen joining me to talk all things Hibernian Football Club. We've got Ewan back as always. Ewan, how are we getting on?
Good, buddy. Just back on Sunday night from a weekend in Prague, on a stag. So just about feeling human again, which was a very good weekend. I was very much relieved when you asked if we could hold back a day this week. I know you had some stuff on yesterday, so I was greatly, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's a minute in and I've already lost my train of thought. So
Right, well, we don't have time
good
for that. Dave, how are you getting on?
I'm very well, mate. Thanks again for asking me on. It's always a pleasure to talk some sense with you guys. Looking forward to
Hey, I'm not sure if you and our next guest, Chris, are
it.
believing that each other's talking sense if we've got Twitter to go off. But
Always.
Chris, how are you getting on?
I'm good, mate. I'm good, mate. Built a bed today. Been a productive day.
There we go,
Took
guys.
only took me 4 hours.
Jesus, was it an IKEA or was it just what?
No, another place. More difficult to build.
Yeah, I get really lost on IKEA and flat packs, to be honest.
Yeah.
But speaking of other things that get really lost, Hibs, for some reason, just can't seem to hold leads. I went through and worked out as 16 points that we've thrown away from winning positions so far this season. So instead of talking about the game, let's just kind of talk about our apathy towards the situation that we're in. Chris, we'll come to you first. You weren't particularly pleased at the appointment of Montgomery. We've now dropped into the bottom six. Kind of summarise your feelings at the moment.
To be honest, I would say I'm just a bit m more apathetic now. I don't really care what happens between now and the end of the season as long as we don't slip into the relegation playoff. And I don't know, I think I'm increasingly feeling like I just don't really understand football these days. Like what I see and what I think is bad. People often tell me, well, it's actually good, it's part of the process, part of this. And I'm just like, do you know what? Fine. If that's the case, fine. So if the summer window is going to fix everything, then so be it. But no, I can't say I've been impressed so far.
And Dave, on the flip side, something that I've seen on Twitter, Liam, who couldn't join us tonight, tweeted out, an Aberdeen fan tweeted that for their new manager that they've just appointed from Elfsborg, the fans need to have patience. And if we recycle back time, or rewind time, should I say, and go back to when Montgomery first came in, it was very, this is a project manager who is going to do something very different than from the squad that we've got. Has everybody just kind of thrown the prams out the. I've thrown the
Throwing
toys at
the
the pram. I
prams out
can't even speak.
the
Yeah, I keep getting my words mixed up. But Dave, is that what we're experiencing at the moment, that we're just not sticking to that mantra?
So I saw actually the thing about the Aberdeen manager and them chatting to a few fans outside the ground, and that was the first thing the guy said. We just need to be patient. This is our transitional season coming up. We need to give the guy time so he can build his ideas and all the rest of it. And it's not often you hear that from an actual fan, and it'd be interesting to see if they stick with it over the coming next season. I think Hibs perhaps shot themselves in the foot because they didn't make as big a deal of that as some have said. I mean, I was on a podcast with the Long Bangers guys, and the guy Martin on there was clearly pointing out all the things that Montgomery had said, and we've got a great squad, and I just need to improve them, and we'll all get it. I don't remember anyone actively coming out and saying, this is a year we're maybe going to have to take a couple of steps backwards in order to build a new foundation and build the team up. And, let's look at what's going to happen in 2 years' time rather than 8, 9 months. So they probably have shot themselves in the foot a little bit. I'm not apathetic to football at the moment. It's just not the way I am, right? And I'm used to Hibs being in this kind of position. It's just kind of the norm. And I've listened to so many people that, like, I saw something on Facebook today, and I wish I hadn't looked at it. I think Hibs have put up the next six games, and somebody who's quite a well-known face and Hibs supporters was coming out with his classic of "That's me. I'm not going back. You can. I'm not going to get a season ticket for next year. You can take my book off me," and all this kind of stuff. And I'm sure he's put that message up every year for the last 5 or 6 years, almost identical message every time. And it's just like, we just need to get over it. Right? We're all unhappy we're in bottom six. But the bottom line is, the majority of us will be back for next season, going through the same emotions with every game, saying that player's shite, that player's great. 6 weeks later, that player's shite, that player's great. Right? And hopefully we get a bit more of the "that player's great" and a little bit less of "that player's shite." But I just want us to take our time and not throw the toys out the pram. And just, you know, if you're going to have a project, be really clear about it, right? If there is chat about us doing a review of people's positions, right? There was some email floating around today as well, I think most people have seen now, right? If that's the case, good. But come out and be really clear on what it is you're doing, right? And what the plan is for the next 3 years or whatever, or year and a half, however you want to phrase it. But let's just see that in the next few days. And then I think most fans will simmer down a little bit and just sit back and see what happens.
Ian, the floor's open to you.
Oh, I don't know what to add on the back of this. Dave's right. Look, like, it's important that if the decision is to stay with the current regime, or, you know, maybe change comes higher up the food tree than the manager, or maybe there's no change. Like, but I think the communication over the next however many weeks until the season's out, because then, you know, I think have we not heard anything come the end of the season? I then wouldn't expect to hear anything going into June. You know, there's quite a big opportunity now in this period of time for them to do something. There's 2 weeks still before the next game, give or take a couple of games. So there is a lot of opportunity for some soul searching to be done within the club. And look, whatever decision they come to, it needs to be the right one. One of the strongest arguments for keeping the manager, or two of the strongest arguments, would be you don't want to keep moving managers on fairly early, but also maybe you don't have the faith in the people that have appointed the managers as well. Like, because, you know, it's not exactly a loan report card when it comes to the appointments that they've made. And I do get the two viewpoints, Harry. I totally do. But if I look at it from purely a footballing standpoint, I don't see the progress. I don't see the justification of giving him time as a football manager, as a football coach. I think 29 games in the league, coupled with how many cup games would they have played? 5 cup games, so 34 games is time. And this season, there's been a winter break. He had a 2-week international break where we didn't have many players away when he first came in, after I think his first or second game to implement things. There was then another international break in November. You know, it's not, these things don't add up to a pre-season, but, you know, there's a lot of time to get your message in. No, this season has felt very stop-start, probably because of performance, but also just, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, because obviously the World Cup was last year as well, but this season just seems to have been very, there's been a lot of weekends where Hibs haven't been playing. I don't know, that's probably just my opinion on it, but I haven't seen it. And after sort of you step away from it after the weekend, I was looking yesterday, like, to look for some statistics maybe that would alter my mind on that. But the statistics show to me a team that are ineffective, don't create enough chances, are wasteful with the chances that they do create, and are leaky at the back. Now, as a football coach who's been here since September, by the way, he hasn't improved any aspect of that.
Mm.
Well, but then again, we have seen in spells where he has, but you have to look at it as a sort of whole picture. I don't think we're any better than what we would have been had he not came. That's the truth of it. Like, we've got a very good, at least attacking core, would we suggest? Like, I think that would be fair, or at least above average. I think we would all agree there, but We're sixth in big chances. We're seventh in expected goals. We're fifth in shots on target per game. We're sixth in goals per game. We're sixth in big chances missed. And we're fourth in the touches in opposition box. So that's for me, but we're inefficient. We get into the opposition box more often than most in the league, but we're distinctly average when we get there. And that's supposed to be our strength. You know, like, we've got good players in that area. That's the... See, if we were drawing games or losing games, or scoring 2 and 3 goals in the process of doing it, then I could understand everything getting thrown at the defence. But the defence has been an issue. But Jesus Christ, how many games have we not scored the chances we've created? And of which, like I say, I don't think we create enough of them anyway.
Because one of the sticking points for me, I think you make very good points, in the whole, up to the split, we have scored 3 or more goals once in the league this season. And that was recently against Livingston. That's a baffling stat that we can't score more than 2 goals in a game against some really, really bad teams. Because in my opinion, the Premier League's about as bad a top flight in terms of the teams out after the top three that we've seen in recent times. Like, the teams in the Premier League are pretty shit this year and they're playing bad football. But there's so many games I can look back on, and there is so many mistakes from players. As you say, even that Motherwell game, we had maybe 4 clear-cut chances to finish it off. We didn't really get shots away because we preferred to pass the ball in the box instead of shoot. That should have been finished off with, in the 93rd minute, instead of just passing the ball to a centre-back and retaining possession, which we do when we're 0-0 in games, we decide to chip a ball over the top and try and play a Yuan into the corner of the pitch. Goes out. That ends up leading to the goal kick, which leads to the throw-in, leads to the goal. Like, I get putting things on the manager, but so much of the game management is on players that he can't not pick. Like, Dylan Levitt made that mistake. He was a natural sub to come on. Eli Yuan at times has made mistakes when it comes to game management. And if he wasn't on the pitch at those times, fans would have been moaning. Like, a lot of the players that we need to keep on the pitch, like Joe Newell and Marcondes, they lag in transition when it gets to a certain point in the game, but we've not got the quality to bring on that we can trust them to actually carry out the job and kill off a game. So, like, if we do give Montgomery the summer, and in my opinion, the main problem with Montgomery is that game management. Like, the amount of times we have had leads that we've thrown away, we've had last-minute failures. Like, I get that, for me, is obviously fully on the manager. But then if he has the tools at his disposal that he was used to using, that could run down the length of the game, that could effectively manage it and wouldn't make these brain-dead decisions that he isn't physically making, but obviously isn't preventing, because they keep happening and happening. For me, as I say, I don't want Montgomery sacked, but I don't have any justifications to keep him, apart from the fact I just can't be bothered with this ongoing merry-go-round of let's get a new manager and this one will change it. I think that we've got him in, we should give him the summer, and he should have a full recruitment team behind him. Let's try and cull, because last year, like, I appreciate that we're not going to have a transfer window in which we can get rid of 20 players in one window. It just doesn't happen. There's not 20 players that other teams want. But we need to get rid of so many players that have been here for so long and just aren't positively
Harry,
contributing
anymore.
Harry,
why can't you do that, though? So
I think it will be 20.
Yeah. I hope it's 20. I hope it is. But it should have been 20. But my problem is, it should have been 20 last year. It should have been 15 the year before that. It should, like,
yeah.
This whole, like, there's so many players that are okay. And where we want to be, like, the thing is, for me, like, my sister said to me the other day, if we kept Lee Johnson, we probably sneak into the top six. Like, he was, I don't think he's a good manager, but he had so many patchy runs in which he could get the players attacking, get the results, like, especially against crap teams at times. So I think we probably squeeze into sixth and maybe fight for fifth. But where we want to be, that's where Lee Johnson was a problem. He's never competing with Hearts for third. He's never competing with Aberdeen when they actually have a manager that can, like, coach a team. Like, for me, getting rid of Lee Johnson was the correct thing. And I still haven't written off Montgomery, but from next year, this summer, we need to see real intent from the club to be like, this is what you guys can expect for the future. This is where we want to be at. Because as we've touched on, we can all accept that it's not good enough finishing in the bottom six, but we need action from the club, not just from the manager, because that's essentially what's let us down over the last few years.
So I think it's an interesting... I disagree with Johnson purely because he might have. We will never know, and obviously in his only full season, we did finish top six, but fuck me when we lost at home to Livingston.
Yeah.
I thought we could go down. told you that. And but I also
it was stayed, August.
But just if he stayed. But I think that was definitely a carry on from. But what I also thought when was, and I tweeted it at the time, that if we got rid of him, then I felt we could still finish third, because I thought Aberdeen had the wrong man in charge, which obviously they did. And to be fair, I was wrong about Naismith. I thought they were on a high didn't nothing as well. So maybe my expectations for the season and for the squad was wrong. You know, maybe I expected too much coming into the season. When Nick Montgomery came in, I thought we'd finish. Or at least I thought it was on the table. You know, I still thought we could do that. So to have the expectations and to miss out on the top six entirely, couple it with some of the things he said after the game as well on Saturday, you know, jubilation and all, like, these adjectives that can definitely be taken out of context, you know, but it is like the bare minimum for this football club to finish in the top six. You know, the bare minimum. Like, finishing bottom six shouldn't be acceptable. It shouldn't be something that we can just get over. It happens regularly enough, but that doesn't mean you should accept it, you know, and that's where the difficulty comes for me. And just the way he talks about it, like, I heard it on, I was in Prague, but I was driving home from the airport on Sunday night, and I put on the Sports Sound podcast from the Saturday and listened to his post game, and he knows he's under pressure. He's talking about how he didn't have three, he's only had, like, you know, three quarters of the season or something. And then Tom English was like, no, well, he's actually managed 88% of Hibs games this season.
He's classing. I picked up on other people and saying that, right? He's classing the season as pre-season, all the rest of it, right?
Which is fair.
It came in with a team that's not his team and not had a chance to change it until he brings in some loan players in January.
Again,
I think that's his only defense, right?
If it's not his team, why did he try and play it with his style when, as soon as he came in the door, he should have adjusted quicker? And by the way, we've won more games before fucking January than we did after. You know, whether we were hard done by refereeing decisions or whatever, we won more games in the league under Nick Montgomery before the winter break than we did after. Now,
so are you saying that he should have stuck to his guns in and kept that same system going?
No, I'm saying he got a better team and got worse results. That's the defence didn't get worse in January. The attack and midfield got better. We won less games.
The defence kind of did get worse in January, didn't it? Because we tried to sign Triantis and play him centre half.
who by all accounts was his guy.
Yeah. And then we ended up having to play Rocky at left centre back, the guy that we were trying to replace initially in January. So it maybe didn't get necessarily weaker, but it didn't get strengthened like it should have at all. Just got shuffled around a little bit.
Paddy, we just had a couple of YouTube comments come in. Thomas, just looking at the Motherwell game, how many chances we missed, we could have scored so many goals, which is fair. But maybe a different point here. So Ben McPhail, he's obviously not a Hibs fan, but he shouldn't then. As an outsider, I think you should give Monty a chance. Seems like his football has improved the team, but there are some players such as Juan, Venti and Jair who just can't seem to finish. Is that sort of where you're at?
Where I'm at, this is genuinely my main sticking point. Is we
Sorry,
had
Ben, this is going to go on.
Ben, that. This is nothing to do with you. Appreciate it, but Venti's been injured for weeks. Jair's pish. No offense to Jair, but he's not good enough to play for Hibs. End of story. But appreciate the sentiment of some players have been wasteful. Yes, but Graham Matthey, followed by Ian Gordon, followed by Brian McDermott, followed within that scope, you have about four managers. How can we go from squad to squad to squad to squad, having to need to get a backup, not even a first choice, left-sided centre-back and fail to do it? And then, when you've decided to go through January and recruit these big fancy-schmancy players who look good on paper and they've looked good at times, but as Ewan has pointed out, haven't produced results, how have we not signed a left-sided centre-back? And then, what we need is someone who can command the defence. If you don't do it, I think Rocky's got potential. I'm one of the people that will stand up for Rocky. I think that there could be a player there if you put the right person beside him. I think Will Fish, as we saw last season, if you've got the right player beside him that can guide him for football games, can be effective. Why are the two of them playing together? Why is Paul Hanlon, if he's, I don't know if he's been injured for half the season, that's why, but why is he not been playing? Like, for me, the one point that I can defend Montgomery on is that he's missing a left-sided centre-back, but the flip side of that, why, when Paul Hanlon has been available, has he not used him? And if he's, and this is a thing that annoys me in football clubs, if Paul Hanlon hasn't been available, why hasn't that been made known to the to the fans? Like, we deserve to know these things, and I don't know. And then there's other players like Jake Doyle-Hayes, I was told was coming back in November. He's still not being seen. The club just needs to start being more transparent, and people will stop being so pissed off at them. And by transparent, I don't mean send an email back to someone that's clearly going to leak it to the internet and then put yourself on gardening leave, because that's just ridiculous. Like, the club is just making themselves look so stupid, and every single time they have a chance to kind of bring it back and actually give fans some hope that they aren't shitting on everything, they just don't do anything for us. Wound up, Dave, talk to me. What, where's Paul Hanlon been?
Paul Hanlon's fit to play any week you want to play. But he's the club have decided to phase out Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson. Right, Lewis Stevenson's now got a more than able replacement and a beater, probably our player of the year. Right, Paul Hanlon is one that, as a club, we have decided to phase these players out and move them on their way. They could have went in January, but the club decided they needed them there just in case. Right, so they sit on the bench every week and then they get looking. Right, and they could have played, especially week four last, when it, for me, even though it would have been another sub, we still had subs left over at the end of the game. So him coming in and going to the left side is just basic stuff for me. Now, he's not played for ages, so even if he does come in, right, he's going to be rusty as fuck. Right, and he'll be the first person to say he needs a couple of games to get up to match pace and all the rest of it, right? So I guarantee you'd make a mistake and then straight away be like, oh, get fucking rid of Paul Hanlon and all the rest of it, right? But that's just, as you see, that's the reality of the situation. We have continually not looked to bring in a left-sided centre-back. Continually. And that's a decision by the football club, right? It's not Montgomery's. I'm guessing it wasn't even Johnson's before that, but now we have a director of football. When you're sitting down and looking at the team for the season ahead, where's the number one thing you're looking at? Two things I'm looking at, right? A new goalkeeper and a new left-sided centre-back, right? And maybe a bit of blood and thunder in the middle of the park as well. But that should just be the main thing. As I think I've mentioned in a couple of messages we were swapping during the week, I would quite happily reduce the striker wages by 10, 12, 15 grand in some way, right? By either selling players or whatever, right? And use that money to get two strong centre backs in, and then you have Rocky as your fallback as a main player. And he can develop alongside two experienced defenders. I'm not saying old, right? 28 to 32, right? A couple of strong defenders that have been there and done it that can come in and shore this team up. We have a completely different setup. And to me, it's basic. It's basic. And I've never understood why we haven't done it. And I remember even a couple of years ago mentioning to certain people at Hibs in passing about a couple of players, right? And I hadn't even looked at them. Right. So, you know, if you're not going out, I mean, we can all look for what players are available, right? In the simplest form, we can go on transfer market and see whose contracts are coming up for renewal, right? And you can find all the left-footed centre-backs and you can say, there you go, there's 10 of them. Like, we've done it before when we've had these chats and we've came up with Matty Peltola, right? These are players that could walk into our team right now. Actual players that can play football as well. He's went to DC United and he's constantly their best player, right? And he can play it from the back. He can do everything that our current defenders struggle to do. So just spend some time doing that. If you've now got this, but now got this set up with Bournemouth, you're not telling me they can't find us some ball-playing centre-backs that are still physical and strong.
I think they will in the summer, though. Yeah, I think that's where we'll get players for them in the summer.
You've got to hope so, yeah.
Aye.
If I was to defend the club, Harry, like, we have signed centre-backs, you know. Like,
have we signed when was the last time we signed a left-footed centre-back?
Yeah, I know, yeah. No, I know. Well, we know the answer to that. You tweeted it 5,000 and something days. I don't know if you ever revealed the answer, but...
No, I did.
Tweet
Liam Fontaine.
I am.
Liam Fontaine, literally.
So Harry, I share your frustrations. I think on the very first episode of Down the Slope, you asked for a left-sided centre-back and we told everyone Daryl Horgan was going to be a huge thing for Hibs that, in that COVID season. And then he got sold 2 days later and we brought in Jamie Murphy. So, you know, like, that's how long ago we know you've been on record as asking for it. But the only thing I would say is the club, at least since the Gordons have come in, and even prior to that with Stubbs and Lennon and with Dempster was sort of running the show, they have tried to pick up younger players that can be sold on at a profit. Now, this isn't to say that the players aren't out there and wouldn't be capable at centre-back, but when we have needed more experience in that position, perhaps the club just haven't found the right profile that matches that sort of category of sell-on value in that position. Obviously, we had Ryan Porteous come through the academy who moved on for money, but I think at centre-back you should be, or well, any position, but especially in your spine of your team, you should be willing to let loose your principles a little bit, you know, in terms of selling on. And you don't, not every player needs to turn you a profit. You need to have players that are capable of winning you games of football as well. But I just wonder if that's why we've struggled to bring in the defenders in that area. You know, Jack Ross was on record as wanting a defender that summer. And you know, we got Nathan Wood on loan, who obviously has went on, by the way, to, you know, to prove that his time at Hibs was an outlier in his young career. I think he was captain in England under-21s in the last international break. But I just wonder if they've been too tied to this, we need to sell at profit model instead of going out. And that's why we've not found that defender, you know, like Dave says, in that age category, maybe late 20s to 30, that, you know, has X amount of 100 games under their belt. But also it is inexcusable regardless. I'm just trying to give some, maybe some reasoning, because you look at Kilmarnock and they, in the last 2 years, they signed Lewis Mayo from Rangers on a free transfer, who I know Dave was a big fan of, but has had a very, very good season, was good for them last year on loan, signed permanently this summer and done well. They also signed Robbie Deese from Inverness, who was a standout in the Championship for a couple of years on a free transfer. You know, it's like, it's good, solid business that the players are there, and for whatever reason, we've just not done it. But the issues lie above the manager. I would happy to accept that. But the manager did also want Chiantes as a centre-back, and very quickly in the league moved him into centre midfield.
To go back, He's another nipper.
Yeah,
he's
exactly,
like 20
yeah.
or something, right? Yeah. Bevan was 20. What's Rocky, 22 now or something? 21, 22?
I am a bit older than that, but when he signed, he would have been that. And Wood was about the same profile. And Fish was
is
the same
Fish
profile.
Fish is still a nipper as well, right? He's up, like, young player there, he'll be probably.
Even
right.
Harbottle, I think, was kind of young. I think, I don't think
aye,
he's...
Aye. So by all means, get one youngster they want to bring on and sell for a profit at a later date, but there has to be a bit of experience in there next to him. And if that experience isn't going to be Paul Hanlon, bring in another experienced player that can bring these players on and get them through those tricky situations and knows how to see out a game of football, right? Get somebody from down south that's played for the last 10 years at a decent level that can just, you know, look after the defence basically and keep it tight.
It's no surprise that we concede so many goals in stoppage time. Because you've got young, nervy players. You've got, you know, Will Fish and Rocky Bashiri, who are inexperienced players, really. So it's no coincidence that we keep conceding goals in 90+3, 90+4. So the chat was Jason Kerr in January, wasn't it? But he wanted too much money.
I'll pose this question to you, and I don't think he's left-footed, so Harry would still say no.
Yeah.
But if we look at Joe Shaughnessy, who has been a competent defender in this league for years, signed for Dundee in the summer, if Hibs were to go and sign that exact profile of player at this summer, as a fan base, would we go, that's fine, or would we want more?
No, because they'll say he's playing for Dundee, he must be shit, even though they're above us in the league. And that is the way that Hibs fans react, unfortunately, right? They're not going to accept Joe Shaughnessy.
If that was the profile we went to sign, though, Dave, so if, I'm trying to think of another example of a player that maybe would fit that mold. Or let's just use it as him. Hibs decide to go and spend, what, 100 grand on him to get him out of his contract at Dundee. Like, would we be okay with that? He's 31, he's got the experience. Like,
I think the context there that's missing, though, is Joe Shaughnessy, like, with Montgomery, he wants to play football. That's his whole thing. Like, I'm not against the idea of getting defenders who can defend. I don't really care about playing football. I care about winning games. I care about getting the ball forward and seeing the exciting players do their thing. I think Joe Shaughnessy, if we played the right way, would be a fine signing. I don't think he'd be a great signing, but I think he would fill a gap until we can sign a better player at some point. And I think he's the exact type of player that if we signed last summer, I think our defence would have looked a lot better this year. I think there's so much and so much care into these young defenders that can apparently skin 10 players and then pass the ball on. Just get someone who can consistently head the ball away, who's not going to jump underneath a ball if it's booted forward, and can is left-footed. Joe Shaughnessy, join Hibs. I don't give a fuck anymore.
I think he's
I just
right
want a left. Oh, if he's, I don't care. Well, he's left-footed now for this bloody context. We need defenders who can defend. And like the thing is for me, we'll talk about this more in the transfer window episodes when they come. But in Scottish football, to do well, attacking doesn't matter. Like, the team with the most goals outside Old Firm, if they've not got the least goals conceded, typically they will. Like, look at Van Veen last year for Motherwell. He scored goal and goal and goal, and they weren't short on scoring goals, but they couldn't defend. That's why they finished bottom six. Look at Hibs. I think only us and Motherwell, like, after, what you got? It's Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Motherwell, Hibs. Motherwell and Hibs finished bottom six, and they're the fourth and fifth highest scorers in the league. Like, stop caring about all these attacking players. If we didn't spend the money that we're spending on Marcondes and Mizian and spent that on two centre-backs that could competently keep the defence solid, we would be in a better position than we are now.
Like, so, Harry,
I think we're getting Marcondes for nothing, though. I think we're getting Marcondes on the cheap, so wouldn't they? That's probably not the right one to use, right? Because we're But it's buttons, and I get your frustration, right? I don't want to go to centre backs and just lump the ball forward, because then you're changing your whole team, right? And Monty did actually talk about that in that Hibs Observer piece, that he wasn't able to change his team at certain times because he didn't have players in those positions that can play that way, like a striker that can hold the ball up. Right, and things like that. And you're also looking for a little bit more height and physicality in midfield as well. If you're just going to have centre backs that just nod it forward or push it forward or whatever, then you are thinking of changing the style of the football. And that, listen, that's fine. There are plenty of people like you, Harry, that would rather do that, and let's just make our team the hardest to beat, and therefore we would be the best of the rest. And you would be 9 times out of 10. But I just don't know how that would go down overall, with the majority of fans who still go on about, I want to be entertained. If you want to be entertained, for me, we should have enough money to get a centre-back that can do the basics, but can also control a football and play a 10, 20, 30, 40-yard pass with ease.
So, Dave, I would ask you then, on you go, Chris, sorry.
There's a ceiling to that type of team as well, that plays long and just defends and gets the ball away. And at Hibs, you've got, as misguided as it feels at the moment, you've got aspirations of like getting into Europe and maybe getting into like group stages. You're wanting to go deep into cup competitions and stuff. I feel like it maybe works sort of percentage wise over a league season, having a good defender that will just scrap and kick it away, but with all the things that we aim to do with this club, I don't really know if it would work.
Yeah. Are you and wrap us up on centre backs for now, my friend?
Well, I think we're wrapped. I did see a YouTube comment come in there saying that Jason Kerr is available on a free this summer.
End of season now, so he's finished up end of season, as does Liam Cooper, who is left sided and is 32 years old and can play football. Now,
and as a current Scottish internationalist and the captain of Leeds, is he fuck coming to Hibs, Dave?
He's 32, right? He's not going to go up from Leeds, so he's going to go down, right? So as we were talking about earlier on, right, he'd be looking at probably teams in that area because he's probably settled there. But I would make a play on him and just say, come up here, we'll make you captain up here. You'll get 2 good years, well paid. Fans will get on board straight away if he puts in performances like he's capable of. And I think it'd be a nice swan song for him. 10 grand a week, no bother.
I think it makes a lot of sense, actually.
Probably solidifies his place in a Scotland team as well. If he played regularly in this league, then I think Clark would put him in ahead of maybe a Jack Henry that's playing in Saudi. You know, if he's
I don't know who's playing at the left for now for for Scotland, is it Jack Henry? I don't know. It must be, yeah, because it's not. Certainly, it can't be Porto, Jesus.
Tierney, is it not sometimes?
Oh, no, Tierney, of course.
Tierney,
yeah,
Tierney of course.
The middle centre-back is the one that seems to be the one that's maybe debatable for Scotland. Anyway, not to... There you go, Harry, we're wrapped. We started talking about Scotland.
Speaking of Scotland, what... All right, give me percentage-wise, what chance does Chris Cadden actually have of getting to Europe? How many more injuries
Zero.
Do we need?
Zero. Zero. Oh. Zilch.
You could have given me a bit of voice.
We do need to accept that there might be a very good chance that Anthony Ralston starts against Germany. Which isn't ideal. But yeah.
Right, but let's kind of we got loads of questions, and I kind of went on tangents about centre back. Sorry, we got a YouTube comment in from iGovJTweetler, and he said Monty should also be available on a free. I think that's quite funny. But speaking of Montgomery, so in terms of the themes, we got a lot of people sending in questions. We can't go through all of them, but thank you so much, everyone, for sending them in. In terms of key themes that we kind of came through from them. One of them was his lack of passion and drive and ability to get the team up for it. Is that something, Dave, that you think is that a frustration that you might have? I know that you're mainly on Montgomery's side, but do you think a lack of drive and passion is leading to the results we're seeing?
You can see that sometimes in the team, I think. In these goals that we've lost in the last minutes of games and all the rest of it, I've not seen a team that's running through a wall trying to get to the ball. Or trying to stop a player or foul a player or whatever they have to do to stop them scoring a goal. I've seen a little bit, that's been lacking a bit for me. And that could be, well be that it's players that don't really have the team at heart, right? Players that are perhaps maybe thinking they don't have much longer left at Hibs. I don't think it's driven by the guy on the sidelines. And I don't think if Monty suddenly started doing aeroplanes around the pitch, we would suddenly start, you know, playing with more aggression. So, you know,
I know we're not privy to what goes on in the dressing room, of course, but what we are is pre-match interviews, post-match interviews. The way he handles himself on the touchline.
He's very reserved in interviews. I get that. And a lot of people don't like that. He's very clear about what he says, right? And
he doesn't make
mistakes. Well, that's fine. If you want somebody who's like a showman for the cameras, they'll bother, right? He is driving it. So we sit not far from the dugouts, right? And you can hear him all the time at the players, right? And you can hear Sergio all the time at the players as well, and David Gray at certain points as well, right? Shouting at players, telling them the wrong position, driving them on, all the rest of it. He's not sitting there with his arms folded, saying, all right, this is fine, we'll just carry on. So I get the frustration of the I think there has been a bit of a lack of effort in games from some of our players, and I'm not going to name them because I think most of them are pretty obvious. But I think there's players that could have stepped up that haven't in the second half of the season. That's been quite disappointing.
And then, has anybody else want to chip in? I'm going to give you different topics on Montgomery, or if he's got to chip in on no passion or drive, he's can.
It's a difficult one, Harry. Like, unless you spend every day at the training ground and you're in the changing room, you don't know what he's saying, you don't know what he's doing, and it could be a part of it, but you're also, it's your job.
I think it's a bit old hat as well, isn't it? Like the passion and drive thing, like visible, like the hairdryer treatment and stuff. I think that's a wee bit 20 years ago, isn't it? I'm not really sure that's what football management and football coaching is anymore.
Did the fan base as a wider, did we come into this with the wrong impression in it, Montgomery? So we've all seen him put the A-League thing when, was it, he had the picture on the wall or something like that, like quite inspirational for them. But I think everyone would have ignored that and went, well, he was a hard-hitting player for Sheffield United under peak Neil Warnock, so he's just going to come in and shout at every cunt.
Mm.
You know, and then when that's not what you get, you're like, oh. But I have to say, I said it there, but he has cut it out recently, I think. But see the all credit to them. All credit. Oh, shut up, mate. Like, do you know, after we've got beat or we've drawn or before League Cup semi-finals, saying, what's the best team wins? No, I want Hibs to win.
Yeah, he does say some very strange things. Like the one on Saturday, we're 20 seconds away for jubilation. Like, it seems a bit sort of self-serving, self-preservation, doesn't it? Like,
I just hope he gets it. You know, I just hope he gets what the expectation is here, because he said a few times as well that he came into the club in a really bad situation and stuff. Sort of again going, well, I've done all right to get us here. Like, I just hope he understands that whether Harry, I know I did say hand cards on the table, I would sack him. I would. But if he stays, I'm okay with it. But I just hope he understands whether it's now over the summer that, or when he eventually loses his job, or be that for good reasons or bad reasons, that what he's served up so far isn't good enough. It isn't acceptable, and it needs to be better. You know, like whether we play good stuff or not, we need to be winning more games. He talks about getting to the latter stages of the cup competitions. We were unfortunate to draw Rangers, but it was a quarter final of the cup. We had beat at the time like the worst team in the country in terms of where they were sitting in the league, in Inverness. You know, like the first time we played a decent team in the Scottish Cup, we went out. We shat the bed against Aberdeen. Like these things need to be better. Like whether he and I just need. He needs to get that. And he could have very easily chose a different tone on Saturday and said, we're devastated, it's not been good enough, we've got no one else to blame but ourselves, whatever. You know, like, in a different tone. But, like the guys have said, he drives the narrative he wants to, he's very deliberate in what he says, and that's fine. But as long as inside and internally he knows that what's been served up under his stewardship, whilst it may have been better in time in spells, across the board hasn't been good enough. You know, like, and I think that's fair.
Yep, I don't honestly disagree with anything.
Can I ask a very quick question to that, right? Like, and it's probably for all the Monty out people, right? There was a clamour to get him out of the weekend, pretty much. There was rumours that had already been agreed and he was leaving and all that kind of stuff, the usual shite that comes out after games, right? So if they had announced that, would you actually want him to have left post that game with the six odd games left to go and the rest of the season to go?
I don't think it would have made any
difference. And if you did, well, if you did though, what would you do for those six, seven games? Nothing. Because you're not going to get... The big person that they all want is Derek McInnes, right? Derek McInnes is not going to come to... I don't want him, right? But Derek McInnes is not going to come to Hibs.
No,
for the last six, seven games of the season.
Not going to come ahead full stop, right? But...
Exactly.
It'd be hilarious if he did.
Exactly.
Did.
You know what I mean? So the call to sack him like at the weekend didn't make any sense to me, because what are you going to do for five, six games?
I think people just trust David Gray enough to get us through to the end of the season. We've had some of our best results this season under David Gray. But I reckon people just generally don't think that we're any bother of going down. So... I mean, I don't necessarily agree with them, and having seen the fixtures, I'm a wee bit like, oh,
yeah, they could have fallen a little bit nicer.
Yeah, they could have, but still, we were talking about this in the group chat earlier. Four teams have to overtake us, and they also all have to play each other. So I think
I don't even know if it's mathematically possible.
Yeah, yeah,
it's possible.
It's possible.
But there's a hipster's away.
Dave, what would I have done had he been sacked on Saturday? Go to your point. I would have been surprised. Wouldn't have been arsed. Probably would have taken some more videos of me singing Hibs songs in Prague and tweeted them. What I would say, what do you benefit from keeping him for these five games? Because even if he goes and wins these five games.
So this is my point. This is the point I'm getting to, right? Because there's nothing to play for, and realistically, right? So if it was, I think if he was actually going to go, they would have released him. Right, they would have been doing that right now. Release them and just say, David Gray, there you go. You just look after it while we're looking to get a manager in. As soon as the season finishes, there's new managers coming in, and he's got all the summer to get the players in and that he needs and all the rest of it. Right, I think that would have happened by now, which leads me to think that despite all the chat about reviews and all the rest of it, I think they already know what they're doing, and their failure has been not to communicate that to the fans at the very beginning and at any other point during this season. And I think we're going to end up starting next season exactly with the same manager, with a very, very different squad, and 20 people gone. Easy. Easy, you can get 20 people out of this squad. Easy. There are so many players out on loan, so many young players that are nowhere near the level, so many older players that are either injured or, again, away on loan. Easily, you can remove 20 players. Yeah. I've said that after the game. I can only see three or four players that started at the weekend starting for us next season.
even then, like, focus is like, oh, Joe Newell's got to start. I don't know. I don't know if he does. It, like,
I don't think he's got long left. No.
Yeah. I mean, his form as a Hibs player goes up and down throughout the season.
Aye.
All the time anyway. He really, what you should be aiming to do is make get into the level where he's a squad player for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So he
yeah.
Can
there,
play
must, there has to be an option. There's not an option just now, which is why he plays every game.
Yeah. Because then he can play 6, 7, 8 games. Then if he starts having a couple of bad ones, you can take him out and put somebody else in, but you can't really do that then now.
Absolutely. I agree with both of you, but I think he shouldn't be undroppable, but he's not near the top of my list of
there's 19 before that.
Yeah. But you're right, and I agree, Dave. I think it is possible. And just because you get rid of 20, doesn't mean you need to bring 20 in.
Too many.
Even in the building anyway. Like,
it
wouldn't be hard to find these people clubs. Like, say Dan McKay, for instance. Offer him a championship club for free. You know what I mean? Like, that deal can get done. Riley Harbottle can go to Colchester. That deal can get done. You know, these things can happen. Noah and Kenny probably get 50 grand for, or 100 grand for a League Two club, or, you know what I mean? Like, these deals can happen, and you may not even have to pay them off, because you let them go for nothing. The other team gives them a signing fee. Easy days. You know what I mean? Like, it's no Football Manager we're playing, but, you know, as long as Brian McDermott, if he stays in post, if he's got the list of contacts that you would think he would from being a scout and all of that, he should be able to find these players' homes, not a problem, in my opinion.
So, transfers.
Sorry, Harry.
I agree with everything that you've said there. We could definitely talk transfers, who should stay and who should go in the coming weeks. But one final problem I've got with Montgomery, and if I was to see him sacked, this would genuinely be my biggest reason, is I think if we lose 3 of the first 5 league games against poor teams next year, I think the fan base is just completely against them, and I think that you get a really similar season to what we've got here.
That's the same as Lee Johnson. You're just going through exactly the same cycle. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
So if he stays, he has to stay to at least January.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully agree. But and my next question after that, because we have got a few questions in about it, do we need to start making changes above? I'm not really sure what the process is. I'm not really sure of the day-to-day things, but I think you guys are know slightly more than me, so Dave, I'll come to yourself about it. Ben Kensel, has there got to be questions around him? Do you think that the failings on the pitch has been anything to do with him and the higher-ups, as some people have referred to them, that have been sent him through questions?
So I've already stuck up for Ben Kensel on previous podcasts, right? I think Ben's a very good CEO. He's turned Hibs around as far as, you know, money coming into the club and everything he's doing off the pitch. I think he's the first to admit that on the pitch it's not been good enough. And I think that's why he was pretty much forced to bring in a director of football, right? Which is, again, additional expense. That director of football has only been there for, what, how long? 8 months as well, 9 months, right? Not even, is it a year? I don't know if it's a year.
It's about a year.
Is it about a year? Right, there you go. It's about a year, right? So he has devolved responsibility to a director of football, and that director of football has had a year to try and make some changes. Do we think there's been enough time to make enough changes, I think, is the question. You know, the problem is, I don't think any of us actually really know what Brian's real job is, right?
That's
you know,
true.
What does he actually do day to day? Or is he just like a consultant? Does he just come in like, you know, once a week or 2 or 3 times a month and sits with the board and sits with the playing staff and says, like, this is what we should be looking at, this is how we should be progressing? What is he actually doing? Is he a daily paid employee of the club, or is he just like, you know, a consultant? And then, again, it comes down to clarity from the club. If the club just came out and said, look, this is how we're running the football department now, this is what happens day to day, right? And this is what the project is for the next 18 months to 2 years. Get behind us and we'll do what we can, right?
Mm.
Then I think, again, I think the majority of folk would be all right. I think it's just that lack of clarity as to what each of them are doing.
Yeah, so I think
fix that and you might fix part of the issue.
I love speaking to people like Dave and that are a lot more intelligent than I am, Harry, and they present their thoughts with reason. He's already turned me into going, oh, maybe he does deserve the summer. But I suppose Montgomery and McDermott haven't, and as Dave said last week, McDermott is a big fan of the manager. They've not had a full transfer window to work together in terms of a summer transfer window to identify targets and stuff. And as Dave was speaking there about McDermott, I still think he's got a pretty decent hit list of, you know, bringing players in post summer. You know, you're talking about Jordan Obita maybe being player of the year. Obviously, a player that came in, and Maizan and Emiliano have both done well in January, and Mariah Welsh looks like a good player. You know, I think we have set, I think Dylan, you know, Dylan Levitt, Dylan Venti, like they're objectively good football players. Whether they're going to work out at Hibs or not, you know, it's a different question. They were signed for another manager. So I think on the recruitment side of things, I would probably give him a tick. But when he first came in, it was very much Lee Johnson's, he referred to him as the boss. I don't know if you remember that. And it was,
aye.
I mean, I thought that was quite odd at the time, because for me, I feel like a director of football is like the guy. You know, we should be not necessarily hearing from him more than the manager, because the manager does, you know, your press conferences and all of that. But they are the one that has entire control of the football department. You know, we should hear from him quite a lot, in my opinion. And probably post-January, maybe post-investment talk even, you know, when that first started getting murmured. I don't think we've really heard from Brian McDermott. I thought it was quite visible when he first came in. And I know he had some health problems, I think, didn't he? I think he had a big operation, so I don't know how that impacted on things. But it has been a little bit odd. You know, he hasn't been very visible. And I think something that would certainly go a long way to reassure myself and reassure some fans is, you know, get whatever, maybe decisions haven't been made, but if decisions have been made, you know, go and get Brian McDermott on the Hibs YouTube channel for 15 minutes explaining what we're going to do going into the summer. Explaining what the plan is, you know, like they've said, but that doesn't seem like it's coming. And to go on to Ben Kensel, I might be wrong, but I think there was some chat that maybe his sort of initial contract at the club or something might be coming to an end or something, at least for a 3-year period that he first came in on. I don't think you can dispute that he's done a good job on the balance sheet. Financially, we could be in a lot worse position. You know, with two bottom six finishes in 3 years, and on the back of COVID, so we could be in a worse position there. But he has, in my opinion, failed on three managerial appointments. So it just depends on where you place the blame for that. You know, is the CEO's sole responsibility balance sheet based, or do they play a big part in the recruitment of a manager? And if so, I think he's got the decision to sack Jack Ross wrong, albeit at the time I was very much wanting Ross gone. The Maloney one was wrong. They disposed of him. Lee Johnson was wrong. And when I say in my opinion, Nick Montgomery is proving to be wrong.
Well, Chris, Ewan went from walking himself into why we should be happy with the higher-ups into they were all wrong. So you personally, I think after what Dave said, I was on board then. Ewan has put some clouds in my thought. Do you think that there needs to be something changing upstairs, or do you think that if there is the clarity, but a comment in from Chris Black saying clarity is massive, there's been a lack of clarity from the club in many ways, we've flip-flopped in terms of plans over seasons, now how can we be successful if we change plan all the time? I think that probably does tie into changing managers all the time as well, but for you, do you think that a bit of clarity from the club would go a long way?
Yeah, because for a start, we're talking about like McDermott and Kensel and stuff, but like, what's the Black Knights? What's their role going to be in all of this going forward? Like, where are they going to be in the summer? I know Foley's on the board and someone else is on the board, but are they going to have anyone working in the football department as well? I mean, we've all seen the rumours that McDermott might not actually be staying. Does that mean that somebody from the consortium is going to take up that role or what? So yeah, I guess some clarity might be nice as to who is actually going to be doing what, but maybe they just don't know yet. I don't know.
It should be an even bigger worry.
Yeah, well, yeah. But it has been a transitional period, particularly off the park, not even just in the manager, like we've obviously with the sale and stuff. So maybe there is just generally a bit of uncertainty with who's going to do what.
Mm-hmm.
You've got inexperienced people in high, you know, like our owners aren't really experienced, and they've, due to awful circumstance, our main two owners have been thrust into a position that one of them was probably sort of getting groomed to be in one day, but has had to be fast-tracked into it. And then obviously Kit Gordon, I don't believe her intention would ever to have had to be quite as involved as probably what she has been over the there's a whole load of circumstance, Harry, I think, that comes when you talk about the off-field stuff. And as fans, we're never going to be privy to that. And it's just, it's so much easier for us to talk about transfers and results and performances and stuff. When you start talking about CEOs and stuff, your board meetings and that, you know, you're never ever going to know. And because that's it, like, is it even fair? Can a CEO be a performance objective? Can a CEO's performance objective be the team finishes fourth? Like, what actual input does he have? Other, you know, like, he's not picking the team, he's not training them, he's not coaching them, he's not even scouting them, he's just literally signing off on the fucking contract, you know, like, so it's a difficult one. It is a difficult one. And again,
did Kensal and McDermott provide a team that should be finishing in the top half? Yeah, I think they did. I know the defense is in particular a bit shoddy, but I still think that team is, you know, we spoke earlier about how poor the quality of the league is outside the top three, I'd say top two, but I don't think there's it's still a managerial failure, I think, or a squad player failure or whatever, to finish in the bottom six.
Yeah, regardless. What is in the building should be in the top pack and should be able to and be competent enough to, you know, absolutely, at least finish top six and challenge for the European places.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I've got 2 points that I want to end this on. One of them was actually from Dave, so we're just going to have to come back to him when he comes back. The other one, whilst we're waiting for our Dave to return, Kevin Wilson sent in, what alternative activities could I do instead of going to the last five games? So, Chris, coming to you first. If you can't be bothered trekking up to Ross County because it's not really anything worth playing for, what are you getting up to on a Saturday instead?
Well, I've got my hall needs done. Need to strip the wallpaper. I need to paint, sand and paint all the wood out there. So if anybody's listening wants to come around and help me, you can come around. we can watch the paint dry as well if you want to.
Right, Harry, I'm going to run you through my post-split activities. Ooh. Right,
go on.
So I walked out of the St. Johnstone game saying that if the result didn't go our way at Fir Park, I wasn't going back to Easter Road in the split. Like, I was pretty, I think you've known me long enough, I've never been one that just go, I'm not fucking going. Like, if I'm not doing anything, I'll be there. But St. Johnstone game, can't make. Picking up my partner at the airport and we're going out for like a sort of big group dinner for a sort of baby shower sort of thing. Ross County game, can't make. Aberdeen game, because it's on the Sunday, can't make, because I'm playing golf at Glen Eagles. Motherwell game, probably could make, but it's a Wednesday night, so we'd need to get away from work and all that.
That might be the lowest attended game of the season, eh?
Exactly. And the Livingston game, because we finished on in the bottom half, and the game's on the Sunday, not the Saturday, can't make. So they've done a blinder there, because I could have had plans on the 18th or the 19th of May, and I thought, oh, fine, we'll finish top six. So I kept the Saturday free. More fool me.
David, at that least favorite part of the show where we're talking about non-related, non-football things, are you up to anything non-football related? Or are you going to be going to all the Hibs games?
I'm looking at the fixtures now. I'll go to the St. Johnstone game, more than likely. I won't go to Ross County, because every time I head off there, it gets cancelled.
Did you go up to the one that got?
We were on the same bus.
I was on those buses as Harry.
Depressed.
the one when somebody got COVID.
No,
I'd had my first pint in the Mallard and somebody went games off. I was like,
we were kind of halfway up and somebody in the bus said, oh, Rocky's just sent me a text and said it's definitely on. And then as soon as the bus stopped, they went, no, it's off. It's like, great info, mate. So I'll definitely go to the Aberdeen game, the Motherwell game at home. And Livingston will just depend on how I feel after the two home games, to be honest.
By the way, the fixtures haven't been kind. I know me and Chris sort of joked about the Harry, but fucking hell, like, they are the two teams that do need to win. You know, like, if you get, look, by the way, if you get a point in either of them, then I mean, they are all fucking pointless. But
the real problem, or maybe not problem, but the bad scenario is that those teams, St. John's and Ross County, they've been scrapping for I don't know how long, like the whole season. They're used to scrapping.
Yeah.
We've just missed out on the top six. You can easily sink like a stone after that. I think they will. I don't think they will. I think we've probably still got enough to get one result that we need. But if you don't win those first two, if you lose those first two, it really starts to become a bit like, oh no.
Right, Chris, I appreciate the sentiment, but I do not like the sentiment. I'm not discussing it. I will try. but to that, a final point before I end, wrap us up. Dave sent in a wonderful comment when we asked for talking points, and Dave Graham said, I'm looking forward to next season. Probably 8 new players and a huge clear out of players lacking in a football brain. So, question to you all to end it off, not including current team players because I think it's harsh. Which Hibs player has either lacked brains, full stop, or lacked a football brain that jumps to mind when you're asked that question? Dave, excluding the current team.
But you're still in all sorts of bother with this, Harry, because certain ex-players are probably walking at the pub and smash a glass over your head if you point out the fact that they're thick as mints. Listen, it's I don't know. I know some really clever Hibs players, actually. One lives just
didn't even warm it yet.
Right, there's some obvious ones, right? I mean, you wouldn't even be taking Gary O'Connor on Mastermind, you know what I mean? but as far as football brains, I have a real problem with some of the players just now, so I really should be talking about it. Right, there's just the amount of stuff that we have lost this season, and I know Monty hasn't done what he should have done, all the rest of it, right? But the amount of goals we should have had if the people had taken the right pass instead of taking the shot on, right? And I know strikers do that; they've always have done that, right? But away from that, the amount of times we could easily have just cleared the ball and we try and do some daft little pass out or whatever, right? And that whole thing, even at the game at the weekend with the Rangers and Ross County, they were defending for their life to get those points. They were chucking themselves at everything and they were just getting rid of it every time, right? As soon as they got rid of it, somebody was on their player. Where is that in our team when we're 2-1 up? And that's not just one or two of them. There's like, there's half the team are like that.
Okay, yeah. I didn't want to...
Well, that's the clear out for me.
Yeah, Harry, I didn't want to go too much in on what Dave said there, but it's not just when we're defending. Our pressures and stuff are... The statistics for that are awful as well. Only Ross County have actually... No, only St Johnstone have won the ball in the opposition's final third less times than us this season. We've committed the least fouls and we win the least tackles per 90. So we just don't get close to teams. Anyway, Alan O'Brien, that's my answer to the question.
He actually came to my mind as well.
because all he had to do to be Ivan Sproul was be onside. that's all he had to do. He was
Did he not get like one assist in his whole time at Hibs and it was against Hearts?
I think it was the one that hit off Fletcher's shoulder. No, he assisted Colin Nish in the game that Rankin scored a squiggler. He got an assist in that game. Yeah, I remember. I seen that video not too long ago. But yeah, Alan O'Brien came straight to mind for me. That
big tall blonde fanny that we got for Man City.
Ryan McGivern.
Oh,
he was mince.
Thick as mince on the pitch and off it.
Jesus.
I think there's a direct correlation between thick as mince off the park and good football brain, though.
Mm.
Like we've had some folk who would get confused, wouldn't know the answer to 2 times 2, but could work wonders on the park. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure you could work out who we're talking about, but to be honest, I'm not really bothered what they're like off the park.
Hey, well, Matt, have you got another answer for that, Chris? Or
no.
Was Alan O'Brien your one as well?
He actually came, I don't know, he came in my mind for some reason. I don't know why, he just, like, he had, like, lots of ability, but didn't he really ever do anything?
I don't know if he had a lot of ability.
Well,
or
he had
a lot
of
speed.
Yeah, he had a lot of pace.
I'm not being funny. If Martin Boyle and Ivan Sprill can be, Ivan Sprill obviously to a different level than what Martin Boyle did in terms, but if they could both have very competent and good careers built solely off pace when they were both playing part-time football before they signed for Hibs. Alan O'Brien, who came through the youth setup at Newcastle, must have had some more sort of raw talent than both of them, but was so damn fucking stupid, he didn't know how to utilise it.
One from the comments, Chris Black said, Jarkko Viss had no football brain. I'll throw out Zibby Malkowski. Like, the boy just didn't understand how a football worked. Like, he would just kick about smiling.
At Aberdeen.
Oh my God. Jesus. All right, we've opened the goalkeeper. Oh, shuddering. But boys, Chris, Dave, thanks as always for joining you, and thank you for being on as per. As we kind of touched on earlier, the games that we're playing, they're not entirely pointless. We could still be relegated, as Chris alluded to. But the games aren't going to be the focus for the rest of the season. We're going to try and have a bit more fun and talk about different topics in relation to Hibs. Next week, if you care about our opinions on managers over the years, we're going to do a bit of a ranking of our managers in the 21st century. Might go for a couple before then, but that'd be before my time, so I'd be out the ranking. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening and chatting along with us in the YouTube comments, and we will catch you next time. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.